When we hear the altar speaking about the radical notion of change, so we had a difficulty comprehending how could a person even have the desire to change himself, mikol vakoko. But yesterday what we tried to do a little bit was try to engage in what Rabbi Yisrael calls limud ha-musar. And we said that limud ha-musar has got a variety of different components within it. First of all is the stage of intellectual awareness. And then it's followed by, once you've understood the mechanics of how the thing works, and the deeper you understand it, the better off you are. Because even when you go through what the meditative part afterwards of the chanting and the visualization, it should have a connection to the root svara. The degree to which you realize al pi seichel that if I don't have an awareness of my actions, if I don't have zihiris in my life, so I am walking kamal, I'm walking like an iver ba'afela. The more you understand it, because you understand the mechanism of what, how choices take place, and how being unaware of choices means that I can make terrible choices and be completely unaware of them. The more you understand that, so when you say yelech b'mahalach hergeiloi ki iver ba'afela, so the words, when you combine them with the emotion, have a far deeper impact. If you don't understand it, so then you're just shouting. You're shouting, and but you can't be mimic. You have to be mimic in the nefesh. So vada the svara is a crucial point in that. Yes.
You said you should preferably do it a half an hour a day.
Yes.
What for us? You were saying like he asked you, so what for us? What's practical?
What's practical?
None of us are doing it for half an hour a day. So
yeah,
5 minutes
a day. I do about 2 hours.
Practically,
you start off. No one's going to start off doing it. You do it for a week, maybe, and then you stop. You do it for to keep it as a long-term thing to draw and build up.
So the hardest things about learning Musa is finding a place that you can do it, that people don't stare at you. If you want to do it properly, you have to feel very. There used to be a special base medrash called Beis HaMusa, attached to the base medrash. They never used to learn Musa in the base medrash. They used to build a little room, and that was called Beis HaMusa. Hey? And you could go into the Beis HaMusa, and you could do whatever you liked, which was and Rabbi Yisrael encouraged that the people would build this. But there's still a Beis HaMusa in Givat Shaul. Not Givat Shaul, in Shiva's Givat Shaul, in Ola Yosef, just down the road. In Rav Albi's Yeshiva, there's a Beis HaMusa.
Yeah, is it working? Is it running?
I've never been there, but we should give it a try. We should go experiment.
Field trip.
And see if they. Maybe we'll find someone there learning Musa.
Yeah.
I think they have a Musa Seder there. In my shul in Ramot, we had a Musa Seder. And we gave it a go.
So what does this mean, a Musa Seder? I think this was a Musa Seder.
No, there's not. Learning Musa means what we did yesterday.
Great, okay.
That's what Musa Seder means. You go and you misboine and you say, Inyan azihirusu, Shadam nizha, Shia ha'adam ha'adam, Nizha b'masav, Uv'inyanav, Klima misboine. Misboinein umefakeach Amas of a drach Hatoivim heim Imloi Hatoivim heim Imloi Hatoivim heim Imloi. So you can imagine if it's me just doing it by myself, imagine if it's all of us doing it together.
Unison?
No, everyone doing something else, but it creates an energy in a place that your emotions are assisted by the people around you. So when you have a room full of people learning Musa, it can reach a crescendo of his love was hanefesh, his light was hanefesh, and that can give a senile Yiddish kind a bit of life.
Because davening is like,
okay, because you're davening, you're not davening in the right place. You can also find the right place to daven.
I'm saying in general, as a general proposition.
They said actually in the Vardak, they said that the davening and the musa were very similar.
Sure.
The davening also let themselves go.
So we should also.
100%.
We should pray. Yeah? We get close to God. It's hard.
It's hard. It's just.
Lots of,
It's break. Why are we standing on the side there being all pussyfooting around? Let's use some gvuria, Robs. Zex?
I'm afraid of Robbie's gvuria.
Every right to be so. Says the altar. We nine perek vav. El al korchach achrei she Rambam omar mefayrash. Once the Rambam says explicitly, she din tshuva hu, that the din of tshuva is she yoid alav yodea talumois, that the one that knows the innermost parts of a mensh, she lo yoshuv oid lechislo, you won't go back to the aveir mistoma. Yesh bekoach adam lischazeik, but tshuva also. I thought you can do it. The Rambam's not asking you to do something impossible, because then it wouldn't be halacha. It would be a wish, a fantasy. Saying, this is halacha. You have to do tshuva, so that in that avera, the Eibishter will say, he's never going to do it again. I can be made. The Eibishter himself will look in the primiest nefesh of the Adam, and he'll never do it again. Such a mockery of our tshuva, where our tshuva is exactly the opposite. Over here, you see, tshuva is in the deepest part of a mensch. That even the Ribbono Shel Olam that sees Mamakei Alev, he can say, he'll never do it. And we do exactly the opposite. Comes Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, we have to do tshuva. Why do we have to do tshuva? I don't want to do tshuva. Say it, but it's Rosh Hashanah, you have to do tshuva. Okay, so what will I do? Well, I'll pretend. How do you pretend? The Eibishter knows when you're pretending. I pretend I'm not pretending. You understand? Like, the levels of deception involved in our tshuva. So when he gets to Ne'ilah, you pretend the hardest you possibly can that you're not pretending.
Better not to pretend.
Father, no, say, of course it's better not to pretend. So you're Ribbono Shel Olam, let's be honest over here. I don't want to do tshuva. I don't want to do tshuva. Let me just take it. It's much worse.
It'd be the worst thing ever.
Ah, what do you want? Oh. Say, Ribbono Shel Olam, let's be honest over here. You know what I think. I know what I think. I don't want to do tshuva. Wouldn't that be a great ne'ilah?
Isn't there something in that if you kind of like pretend,
then what happens is your ne'ilah is for sure gone. Then for sure you've wasted your Yom Kippur. Why? Because you pretend you don't do anything. If you went to the Eibishter and say, listen, I realize it's Yom Kippur. I realize my fate rests on this moment. I'm not going to fake it. I'm going to say to you, tough luck. I'm just going to take what I need to take. Then there's a possibility that you may tuck and think, uh-oh, 1 second. Whoa. Maybe I should do something. But if you go in and say, oh, I'm going to change the gamma. Are you ready? Shut up. I'm going to change the gamma. Yeah, I'm going to be a different person from tomorrow. I'm going to be a different person from tomorrow today. Meaning, today, tomorrow will be different. Tomorrow, I won't. But today, they understand the mockery. On Ne'ilah, you're going to be a tzaddik gomur. When? During Ne'ilah. On Ne'ilah, I'm going to be a tzaddik gomur 2 days later. But 2 days later, I'm not going to be a tzaddik gomur. Then the ill is gone, because there was only one big fast. So he said, Ribbono Shel Olam, listen. We are having a relationship over here. Tshuva is coming back to you. The worst thing in the world I can do is fake it. Imagine you trying to have a relation with a person, and they're always being false to you. You got a relationship, and you say to your wife, do you really care about me? She says, of course I care about you. And she's lying. Or she says, listen, the truth is, Rob, I don't really care about you. So then you can say, okay, well, let's work on it. You know, I'm not such a bad guy. She says, well, I don't know, eh? From what I've seen, I'm not such a guy. Says, okay, I'll prove it. And then you can start a relationship. But you can't have a relationship when you're both faking it. They're both faking it. When one of you's faking it. For sure not. So why fake it? If you want to do tshuva, do tshuva. If you don't want tshuva, say, you don't want to do tshuva. So then you have to get into a dialogue. So then you have to say, well, Hashem is going to say to you, well, why don't you want to do tshuva?
Marriage, you want the relationship.
Oh, God, you don't want
that.
No,
because
you
don't
want the relationship with God.
Of course. So he said, listen, I only be tshuva because, quite frankly, I don't want to be close to you. That would be a good ne'ilah.
Try to
do. I don't be close to you. So then you have to think, okay, so then what are you doing in shul? Sorry, Zach, but what are you doing in shul? That's a good question. And then, Taka, you may land up outside shul. But at least you're honest. At least you're somewhere real.
Wasn't a good Yom Kippur.
Wasn't a good. How'd you know?
Because it wasn't a good Yom Kippur.
How'd you measure what's good and bad Yom Kippur? Are you alive?
I'm alive.
There you go. Couldn't have been that bad.
This is a booklet. I read Rav Dessler.
There you go. Who says that's a bad Yom Kippur? That could be the best Yom Kippur you've ever had. It was real. You were, no one was pretending to be anyone else. You can't take on an alter ego for the Yomim Noroim and say, okay, I'm going to project this alter ego, this big tzaddik, and he's going to be like a star, and he's going
to... But the only thing is, Rob, aren't we like, in a sense, we're always trying to put on a bit of an alter ego in becoming from Balshub, from secular to Balshub, to from...
We are.
And then on Yom Kippur, what we almost try to
can I just argue on the premise, or do you want to continue?
No, let me just give you a general idea. So what we're trying to do is we're trying to take that ideal that we're trying to strive to,
right,
and on Yom Kippur, we try to kind of insert it into...
Okay, so here's your lamdas. We as Balei Tshuva are anyway pretending and we're not being real. So on the contrary, when it comes to the Yom Noraim, we should pretend even more. Since the Mahalach of pretending and not being real is the way we go, so it's a Chumrah.
No, I'm just saying, to be real what I'm saying. I'm saying that there's a striving to be an ideal higher than we are. Whatever it could be from
how do you strive to be an ideal higher than you are?
We perceive it, we have an idea, like, yeah? I want to be like Rav Moshe Feinstein, you've got a picture of him in your head,
yeah?
And you...
But that's absurd. That's absurd,
well,
right?
It is, but what
no, that's absurd. This is one of the biggest problems with tshuva.
Okay.
If you have in your mind that you want to be like Moshe Feinstein, right? Let's say that's what's in your mind. Okay. First of all, good luck to you, mate. Secondly, that's wrong. It's partially wrong. What's the reason? The reason is because you're not meant to be like Moshe Feinstein, and if you're trying to, you're possibly wasting your life.
Then why is he relevant to me? Why do I care?
Who said he's relevant to you?
No, he is.
One second, who said he's relevant? Someone made him relevant to you? Who made him relevant to you?
Talk about how...
Who's we, pal face?
Get up at 2 o'clock in the morning and they do this and they do that. I'm not saying I must get up at 2 o'clock in the morning. Maybe I should get up at 6:30 in the morning.
So that's why it's relevant to you. Because it shows you the capacity that someone can go to, and then you can understand frameworks that you can then apply to yourself. He's not relevant to you, but seeing koichas in him, which perhaps sometimes are in you, helps you to understand what you could be doing more. But you can't become Rav Moshe Feinstein.
No.
I mean, alavai, but no. I mean, how many times have you been through Shas? How many times have you been through Shas?
Yeah. No, I'm just saying that there's whatever you meant to be.
Rav Moshe Feinstein used to learn Daf Yomi. So I can learn Daf Yomi. Problem is, he learned it on Shabbos.
In an hour.
But is it the ideal of yourself, Rob? Whoever you are meant to be at.
So the problem is like this. This is a big problem in tshuva. This is a big problem. When I want to change, so it's hard for me to know what I want to change to. Because it's hard for me to envision what I would be like as a tzaddik gomor. How do you do that? In other words, the whole basis of change is you have to change into something. Have you ever gone to Moshe Lemadov Adoyme? A person goes to the wardrobe and he wants to get changed. And there's no clothes to change into. So what do you do? You stay in the clothes that you're wearing. Because otherwise, changing, when there are no clothes in the cupboard to change into, and you want to get changed, so there are two options. Either you're going to be walking around naked, or you're going to be changing, or you're going to be staying as you are. So there's no vision that I have of what I would look like if I'd be the tzaddik gomor. So comes up the altar of Nevadik and he says, change today, completely. The problem, to what? To what? What am I changing to? So you say, well, if it's Reb Moshe Feinstein, it's okay, because I'll go and read the article biography, they've got like a new fat version, and then I'll say, okay, so I have to get up at this time, and I have to do this, and I have to speak like this, and I have to behave like this, and I have to do like this. Gevaldik, the problem is, he's got a different Shosh and Shama to you. Your name's not even Moshe. So, what do you do? That's the problem. That's a problem. It's interesting. It would be an interesting game to play, like game in a healthy way, to try to imagine yourself. To imagine, you have to imagine the specifics of your day, right? So you have to imagine, if I would be the tzaddik gomor, how would I speak to my wife, the cleaner, my second cousin, my good friend from Cape Town? How would I daven? In which min would I daven? How would I learn? How much Torah would I know? How would I think? How would I speak? How would I walk? That would be an interesting exercise. But seemingly, if all those things are just these vagaries, so then the whole point of change is just a little bit funny. I'm going to become a tzaddik gomor. I'm going to change into what? Tzaddik gomor. What does that mean? I have no idea. So how are you going to change into it? I'll just change into it. Yeah. So how do you know what you where does the tzaddik gomor rest? There's also another interesting thing. It says, Zach, Yesh le mona roitze mosayim. If you have 100, you want 200. It doesn't say Yesh le mona roitze elef. that you only actually can ever want something which is double what you have, but not a thousand times what you have. That's not called building, that's called fantasy. Your natural way of growth is I grow to the next stage, and the next stage, and the next stage. Sorry? Eliyahu? That he wants double the amount of Nevuah. Okay?
No, it's like
that.
He didn't ask to have
Nevuah of Moshe Rabbeinu.
Yeah, he asked for double.
So we have to think. So then what's El Al Korchach says the, again, let's go back to the altar. The Rambam says that the Abisha will testify. Mistoma, you can do it. Yan ki yochel hakir mashin ugele akor kokach brua. Since you can recognize with such clarity, achigama boi yoyed olof kikenu, until the Abisha himself will testify. V'kimen shi yodea. What you have to try to see in the words of the altar is, how is he learning this whole process? What does he actually mean when he says this radical change? What kind of change? Is he referring to a change of behavior, a change of attitude, a change of intent? V'kimen shi yodea atzmo ves midosof. Let's think. Since you know yourself and you know your midas, v'ayem mekom avodon shelo, and you know where you're failing, u'me'ayin bo la mechshol v'atos, and you know why the problems are occurring. What you are holding previously and what broke that hold. Because there's always a reason why you do a chait. And you know what's pulling you out of the world of Torah and into the world of Gashmi. If you understand and recognize all this, and you know that as much as you were perplexed until now, from your stumbling and falling in that world, you are now only revolted. When you come to this realization, and you can imagine in your mind distancing yourself from the place of the Vera, and you can imagine the fences you'll set up not to fall back into, and you understand that this is the best place you could be away from these Averas, and you decide today is the day when you're going to change. Why can't the Abishah testify that you'll never get back in it? Since you didn't just do word lip service to your tshuva, elishav b'tshuva berura umeiro, but you did a tshuva which is clear and enlightened. Derech atshuva ori eloy, the derech atshuva will be a light. You'll be able to stand on it. V'aderech tishma olav mikol mishul v'hefzid. This is really what this paragraph. We have to go back to this paragraph. But you see that the altar, when he says tshuva, it's not this random desire. It's an absolutely powerful insight into where you're holding psychologically and what's making you work. When you understand where you're holding psychologically, what's making you work and why are you there. In other words, you don't just say no more Lashon Hara. You say, okay, why am I speaking Lashon Hara? Well, the truth is because as a young child I was attacked by a bat, and ever since then I've wanted to get back at people. The Marshall again, doesn't have to be literal. You with me, Robbie? But it means that you understand the source and you understand exactly your makeup, and then, so we'll have to go back into this paragraph, Zach, yes.
You know how we get to the Nehemiah and we say, well, what should I do Chuvan this year? He's saying the whole question is flawed because you should never have to think what should I do Chuvan, it should be so obvious to you.
100%. Otherwise, what's your tshuva? You're just fumbling around in the dark. Of course, if you're fumbling around in the dark, the Abish is not going to say he'll never go back to it. Because you yourself realize you'll never go back to it.
Hello, and you say to yourself, I want to do tshuva. And you say to yourself, what should I do tshuva? And then you say, what's the easiest for me? Well, I'm not so good at this, but I suppose I could do it if I try. Like, is that better than saying everything one go?
Let's work out what he means. You're going in the right direction, but we have to. Okay.